Well, let's talk about God ordering our steps. Let's talk about that this morning. You know, yesterday, coming home from soccer, we actually were in two vans. We went separate ways. I came to church after a soccer game, and family was going home. But on the way home, a wreck took place. Literally, I mean, I'm not the eyewitness here. I get the eyewitness accounts. But as our van is going, there is a noise of a wreck right behind our van. And kids look around, and what do they see? They see three cars sprawled out in the on the courthouse. One's over on the side of the road. One's all, as Ian said, front's all smushed up. And one's just, again, stranded there in the road, right behind our van. God, you are watching over us. And you know, I think it was also such a great thing, because we talked about that with our kids, to say, God does watch over us. He does take care of us. And of course, we pray that those people are fine. We didn't see anybody injured, but we pray that everybody was fine. But God, more so than we even know, is watching over us each and every day. Yeah, you know, God watches over us when we know it. Because that was an obvious thing. So, okay, we know it. God, that literally happened right behind us. But it didn't involve us. Thank you, God. But God takes care of us when we don't know it. More often probably than not, we don't know it. And God's taking care of us. And he's watching over us. He's like that dome of protection when the missiles and the fiery darts of the enemy are being fired at us, and yet they're being extinguished even before they hit their target. We say, thank you, God. And that's sometimes we just need to think, thank you, God, for extinguishing the fiery darts of the enemy that are directed our way. Thank you, Lord God, for removing the curse off of our lives or any curse sent our way by the enemy. Sometimes we pray, Lord God, that there's no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. There's no tongue that rises up against us that shall prevail. It shall not prevail. It will be extinguished and be null and void. We should pray that way. We should believe and know that God is taking care of us. So oftentimes, like I said, we don't have any idea. You know, I've been in wrecks. I don't know if you've been in wrecks. I've been in wrecks where my car got spun literally off the road, 4 flat tires, total vehicle. And I walked out with some few scratches. Praise God. He was drunk. I was more than a survival. I was totally okay. The Lord provided for me and even made a way for me to get another car. God was there. He was in there. He was there with me, taking care of me, watching and taking care of me. He was also with me on that Alabama highway. Little highway down, I don't know which one it was, going through Alabama, making my way down to Florida, actually coming back from Florida to Mississippi, where a semi trying to pass this little old lady, coming too fast, coming too hard, couldn't veer out of the way as she was trying to turn, so just totally lost control, jackknifed, and started coming towards me. In 3D, full exposure. I could see the man in his cab flipped over on its side, the shoulder totally covered with the trailer as it was exploding and undoing. The shoulder was totally taken, didn't have anywhere to go. But in an instant, I knew, cross over the other lane, go to the other shoulder, onto the grass. Can't tell you how I knew. I just knew that's what to do. When I got out of the car, I looked at the wreckage. I realized, only then did I realize, that was the only place to go. Because everything, the highway was covered, the shoulder to my right was covered. The only thing that was open was the shoulder on the other side of the highway that was open and available. It happened in an instant. It wasn't something you think out. It wasn't something you do. You just know. Go. God's there with you. Even when you don't even realize, God's there with you. He's good. He's taking care of us. He's watching over us. Even when sometimes things are sent our way and we have no idea, but he's watching over us. And he's working for our good. He's taking care of us. You know, I think when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's important. It's significant. I think, you know, it's not even a bad thing to pray it every day. I mean, I don't want it to become like a ritual, but something that you pray. And when you pray, lead us not in temptation. Lead me not into temptation, Lord. But deliver me. Deliver us from evil. Those are sincere prayers. And that's exactly what God does. He delivers us from evil, from the schemes of the enemy. He watches over us. He has a providential care over our lives. There are a lot of bad things that happen in this life. We know, we don't take too long to think about our lives, those we know. But we realize that God's plan for our lives is always good. It's always good. And it even includes the bad stuff. Psalm 37, verse 23. The Lord orchestrates things in our lives that we don't even realize so often. Psalm 37, 23 says this. He says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. God directs the steps of the godly. And though sometimes we do fall, sometimes we do stumble, He's got us. And that's the beautiful thing of God. There's a Hebrew word here in this, in the first verse that I mentioned, 23. The Hebrew word is kun, K-U-N, pronounced kun, like raccoon. Kun is used here. Kun has several nuanced meanings that can give us a broader understanding of the usage of this word. If I look at the NIV says that the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Makes firm. In the ESV, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. So the steps of a man are established. The New King James Version says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. They're ordered. This word kun, this Hebrew word kun, gives us the idea that it is God who directs and establishes the footsteps of his children. It is God who directs. The idea of this word is that God has established a pathway for us to walk in. He's prepared it. He's put it forth. It is firm. It is unwavering. It is not here today and gone tomorrow. No, it is here today and it's here tomorrow. It's not just something that disappears. It is appointed for us, and it is stable and secured by Him. This should be comforting to us, that God establishes, He provides, He anoints, He makes a way, He sets firm our footsteps. It should be comforting to us to know that God knows you, He knows me, and He has plans, prepared plans for each one of us. Jeremiah 29:11 speaks to this, because we hear God's heart. We hear God's heart towards His people. We know this verse. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. The Lord has plans for all of us. We know that, right? I do believe we do. We know that, right? I'm not saying anything new, but how do we live out this knowledge in our day-to-day life? You know, Jeremiah continues to speak to a people in the context of a people who have been separated. They've been separated from the promises of God. They've been separated from the promised land. They were being sent into exile, and they were looking for restoration. And God's saying, I am your restorer. We continue on in verse 12, Jeremiah 29, verse 12. It says, in those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. The people of God had fallen, and they had fallen in a very difficult, hard way as they were in exile, taken from their land, experiencing many horrors. And God sees and knows and says, I've still got you. I have not forgotten you. My plan is to restore you. My plan is to prosper you. My plan is to bless you and bring you peace. My plan is to restore you back to your home, to the promises that I have given you, that I made to Abraham long ago. I am restoring those things which have been taken from you, those things which have been stolen. And I will bring wholeness to you. God is restoring the people of God, back to his promises for them. God works to restore his people. He's always at work to restore his people. And God does this for each of us, even when we fail. That's good news. Even when we fall, God restores. He's working his plan in our lives. Now we see it is possible to miss God's plan, as the Israelites did. The Israelites missed time and time again. But even when whole generations miss it, God restores the next generation. God restores the remnant. He's always in this work, always doing this. He does not forget us. He invites us to come to him. He invites us to pray to him, to seek him, and to find him. And he says, when you do that, you will find me. You will find me. Guarantee it. And he says, though, when you seek me, do it with your whole heart. Do it wholeheartedly. Now, this is for the faithful, and this is for the prodigals. This is for all those who would call upon his name. But God is looking for our heart. He's looking for our heartfelt prayers. He's looking for us surrendering our heart to him, not just well-placed words. Our cooperation with God comes from the very intent of our heart. And so we let God guide our steps. We let God guide our steps. We give him our undivided attention. And we pray. And we seek him. And we go to his word. And we seek his counsel. And we seek his wisdom. We ask for it. So the Bible says, ask for wisdom, and you'll receive wisdom from on high. Ask God to speak to you. We should ask God to speak to us. We should ask God for direction. We should ask God for conviction. And for his peace to lead us and to guide us. And one of the best things we have as believers is that God's presence is with us. He's for us. He has a design for our lives. And he speaks to us. He is present with us. You know, sometimes in our prayer time, and we can go seasons and not really feel his presence very much. I mean, there's dry seasons in the Christian's life and where we don't feel his presence. Sometimes we need to pray. Can I say sometimes it's like digging the new well or digging the well where you're not hitting water yet, but you got to dig deeper. You haven't hit the spring yet. It's there. It's just deeper. It's deeper and deeper. And so you got to keep digging. You got to keep praying. You got to keep seeking. You don't give up until you have water, until that water is flowing. And sometimes that's the very thing we have to do. Because don't mistake, even in your dry times, God is there. He's there. He's always with you. And he's working on your behalf. Sometimes we just need to find that frequency with God, because whatever in life we've gotten out of frequency with him. In those cases, we need to ask, Lord, is there something in my life? Is there something in my life that I need to deal with? Is there something in my life that I need a conviction about because it's gotten me out of frequency? It could be a sin. It could be a sinful attitude. It could be a wrong way of approaching something, that you're approaching something in life that's not God's way. He's not leading you down that pathway. And there's silence. There's silence of that. There's the silence that we need to go back to God and say, Lord, did I miss it? Did I miss it? I think I may have just missed it. And it may not even be sin. We heard a testimony on Wednesday, right? Those who were here on Wednesday, we heard a testimony about healing. And the family had prayed and they felt what to do and where to go. And they said, oh, that's too hard. Oh, that's too difficult. And then there was a silence for 2 months. And they came back and said, God, why aren't we hearing you? Why aren't we sensing your presence? What is it? And then God puts his finger and says, remember what I said to you 2 months ago? Oh. And they went back and did the very thing that God said to do, and they got their healing. That's another story altogether. I can send you the testimony. It was awesome. It is awesome how God brought healing in their family, in their son's life. Sometimes there can be times of quietness where God doesn't seem to be speaking. And we need to ask the questions, Lord, am I missing it? Lord, is there anything in my life that's not pleasing to you? God, would you convict my heart? Would you show me? Would you put your finger on it? And then be intent upon dealing with that very thing. Be intent about it. Because God is, he is so right there, even when it seems he's quiet. Be determined to not allow anything to stand between you and God. The God who created you, the one who loves you, the God who has a better plan for your life than you ever could. Proverbs 16, 1 through 3 speaks about God's plan and our plans. It says, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Well, I like that last part. You see, God, he already knows. He already knows the pathway he has for you. He already knows the steps he has ordered for you. He has prepared for you. Commit your ways to the Lord. Commit yourself to God. Do we ever say to God, I want what you want, Lord. I desire what you desire. Do we want God's plans for our lives? Because we know we have ours. We have our plans. And sometimes they're simply not one and the same. So it requires a trust in God that his plan is actually better than our plan. To trust God's plan literally is to trust God. If I'm going to commit my ways to the Lord, if I'm going to commit myself to him for his ordered steps of my life, I've got to trust him. Because if I don't trust him, there's no way I'm going to commit to his plan. There's no way. I've got to trust God to trust his plan, to commit everything we do to the Lord without exception. And where we do have exceptions, that's exactly where we don't trust. And they're usually in places of hurt and pain, where we've been hurt, something has been done to us, where there's been something in our life that we're like, no, Lord, I've got this. I'm going to control this. I'm going to handle this. So if we have any exceptions from trusting God, they're in areas of our lives that need to be dealt with. Proverbs 6:9, it says this, it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. We plan our course, we do what we desire to do or think to do, but it's the Lord who establishes our steps. So we shouldn't be surprised when there's change of course. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now that can be comforting to some people. That can be discomforting to some people. Because it does mean that the Lord is all about course correction. And he helps us. He helps us. People have all kinds of plans. All kinds of plans, right? We have all kinds of ideas about our lives. Everybody has plans for their lives, and sometimes we have plans for other people's lives. Maybe you're that person who has lots of plans for other people's lives. Yet now we know that not all these plans are from God. Not all these plans come from our Heavenly Father. Oftentimes in the human heart, we come up with plans that seem right to us, but they fall short of God. They fall short of God's plan for our lives. And one thing God has given us, he's given us free will. He's given us the ability to choose. And yet he's sovereign. And his will prevail. His will prevail. You know, it's even the situation, and again, you may find this comforting, that God is always at work, moving and shaping our lives. Even when people are not seeking him or care about his purposes, you know, God can use even the terrible things in this world, the terrible things that are going on, even the terrible things in our lives. You know, we could look at this world and see many, many, many examples. I think what's going on in the Middle East right now, God's going to turn it for his glory. He is shaping that for his glory. I really believe that. I really believe that the end result is God will be exalted. But if you look back in history, we can see things like this. We can look, maybe we remember the Holocaust, right? One of the greatest evils of the 20th century. And it's something that is we know and we talk about it even today, especially what's going on in Israel. Yet God takes one of the greatest evils that was brought forth in the human heart, and he takes that and he turns that for his glory. Because we know out of the Holocaust, the nation of Israel is established. I know there was a lot of years leading up to that, even before World War II, there's a lot of years. God was setting it up until finally there was a release. And in that moment, in that time, obviously Jews in Europe, they rushed to the Holy Land. They rushed back to Israel. Where there was not a nation, there becomes a nation. Right after World War II, there becomes a nation. And people start coming from all over the globe, especially Europe, to come to find a safe haven, to find a home, to be reestablished to the promises that God made to Abraham. Reestablishing Israel. And Israel, which God will be glorified, it is even being glorified today. God takes the worst situations that the enemy has brought forth into this earth, and he turns it, and he will be glorified. God's will prevail. His plans will prevail. The same thing can be said for you and I. God can take our mess. He can take the messes of our lives, and he can work miracles. God can take just the ugliest things that have been a part of our lives, and he can turn beauty. He can make beautiful things out of things that are so ugly and that we'd rather forget. We'd rather just stuff it away and never think about it, never talk about it, it's just ugly, and we just want to put it away. But yet God can shape something beautiful out of the most painful things in our lives. Romans 8:28 says, We know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good of those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. Well, God loves us. Do you love God? I believe we're called according to his purposes. I do. It's just for us to step forward and say, Lord God, I belong to you. Like, I love that prayer. Lord God, I belong to you. Father God, I belong to you. I've been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. Just declare that. Make your declaration. I belong to you. I'm going with you today. Every day, I'm going with you. I don't want my way. I want your way. God, I don't know how you can make beautiful things out of the messes of my life, but I trust that you can. That you're able, that you're more than able to turn the ugly things of my life to beautiful things. Because in your hands, you're the master carpenter. You're the master creator. You're the God who puts me on the wheel and forms and shapes me to be the very vessel that you're calling me to be. So we have that kind of trust in God that he can take the worst of things and bring amazing, amazing blessings. God is the restorer of our lives. So how do you align yourself? How do you align yourself daily with God? How do you walk with the Lord in a daily way? Because he has something for you every day. You can even pray, Lord, what do you have for me today? Help me to be aware of your presence, of what you're bringing my way, of where you're taking me, to be aware and to see your hand shaping and moving my life. It's important that we align ourselves to God and accept his plans for our lives. Acts 17:28 says this. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. This is a way of living. This is a way of life in God. And God calls us to move closer to him. He calls us to have a closer walk with him. To not, you know, when we're trying to sometimes figure out God's will, we're trying to ask and see, Lord, you know, what kind of purposes are you wanting to me to live out and how to live out? He doesn't say just sit idly by. Doesn't mean we don't wait on the Lord. We do wait on the Lord. But it doesn't say sit idly by and just hope that you get an idea, right? Sometimes we do have to be careful because we can take something God says, or we can take something God says in the Bible or whatever, you know, and then we can kind of try to shape it according to our comfort. Let me just mention that quickly, because we do want God's will, but we have to make sure we want God's will, right? You know, God has spoken to people, and I want to take the example of Abraham and Sarah. God spoke to them. God said, I am giving you a promise. I am promising you. And then they had to wait. Generations and generations would come for them like the stars in the sky. They were given this great promise, and then they had to wait because no child was coming. No child, years and years were passing by, and no child. And now they were old. They were very old, and it made no sense to them that this promise would come to pass because God said he would do it. Okay. We're old. Abraham, you're old. Sarah, you're old. I don't think you can have a child. I don't think you can have a child. All this kind of thing, you know, their conversations, who knows how they talked about, but they talked about this. And they came up with some ideas. They came into their human way of thinking. They injected human reasoning into what they could see. They said, well, Hagar, she's a young woman. She's a young servant woman. Well, let's do this. Let's do this, Abraham. Let's just come together. You have a child with Hagar. Birth that child. We'll bring that child to God. God will bless it. And then we'll have the promises. We'll have it. They injected human reasoning into the promises of God. We can do that. We can do that. We can inject human reasoning. What we can see, because only what we can see, right? Has anybody ever given you directions to go to a place? And, well, no. These days it's hard to understand that. You have to go back before GPS, before maps, and you're always relying on the person who says, yep, just over that hill, just around the hill. You'll see a wagon. Turn right at the wagon. And sometimes you're like, do I trust this guy? Because you can only see so far. That's so much of it. When it comes to the promises of God, we can only see so far. Do we really trust what we don't see? Abraham and Sarah, they got to the point where they only trusted what they could see, and everything that they knew and understood didn't align with their reasoning. And so they brought their own reasoning. And they brought their mess to God and said, bless it. Bless it, Lord. But God didn't bless it. Now, out of love for Abraham, he did give a blessing to Ishmael, but the blessings of God were not coming through Ishmael. God had a plan, and he was going to do it. And he saved them. He saved them from many mistakes to bring forth his divine plan for their lives and for the people of Israel. So we do have a human problem. If God brings us the blueprints and says, this is what I want for your life, you know, we're excited about that. We'll go build it. And if God tells us his plans, we want to go perform it. But if we are not surrendered to God, if we don't have a surrender of our lives, we'll do it our way. And that's the problem with God just telling us everything up front. He can do that with some people because they're surrendered. They'll follow through God's way. But we do have a human problem. A human problem is that oftentimes we'll do it our way. We'll hear what God said. We'll translate that into our version of it. And we'll do it what's comfortable to us. So sometimes God can only say, go up the hill. And then when you go up the hill, he'll tell you the next step. And the next step. And the next step. So often this is how God works. So he doesn't just necessarily give us a plan and just tells us to run with it. And so oftentimes what we miss out on and we don't realize where we're missing God is that what we're trying to do is not fully obedient, but sometimes it's a partial obedience. It's not a full obedience. It's just partially, which is not obedience at all. So we can't, maybe I can say this, we cannot kind of follow God. Because when we seek our convenience and our wants, that's oftentimes what happens. And God wants to use many things in our lives to help us, to teach us, to totally trust in him. So we want to find God's pathway. We want to find God's steps for our lives. The biggest thing we can do is to find him. That's the biggest thing we can do. We want to know God's will for our lives. So instead of God just giving us a plan and sending us off to run with it, and doing oftentimes what people do, create Ishmaels, he wants us to walk with him. It says he has us. He has us by the hand. He's with us. Even when we fall and stumble, he's there with us. He helps us get back up and go forward. We can trust in him. And that's what he asks us to do. To trust daily, intimately, everything into that we trust our lives in his hands. And so we learn. We learn to live this life in Christ. We learn to move and live and have our being in God. This is so important. Now, some of you may be sitting here like, Mark, I don't know how you think of your days ahead, because God's got your past, he's got your present, he's got your future. Now, you may think that your house has been built. You may think it's all done. There's nothing left for you. Maybe you think your days are, who knows? Our days are numbered. But he still has a plan for you on this earth today. He still has a purpose for you. And us discovering that and trusting that, it's finding him daily, growing closer to him, moving closer to him, and in him we move and have our being. And this is the best way of finding God's will. Grow closer to him. Move in him. Draw closer to him. Things become so much more apparent. Things become so much more obvious to us when we grow closer to him. So his plans and his purposes are found in him. And it takes trust. It absolutely takes trust. That you can trust in him, that he's not failing you. He won't fail you. And he can turn things in your life that you don't think are possible to turn around to bring amazing, amazing things from very hard things. So that's my encouragement today. Commit yourself to him. Spend time with him. Don't just pray for the next thing. Spend time with him. That next thing will make a whole lot more sense in your relationship with God.